Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Alice Bryant, Brian Lynn, Anna Mateo, and Jill Robbins. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Alice Bryant.
As COVID-19 continues, psychologists and misinformation experts are studying why the pandemic has led to so many conspiracy theories. Such theories have persuaded some people to avoid facial coverings, social distancing, and vaccines. Opposition to vaccines by some Americans is not new. Daniel Roberts, a 29-year-old Tennessee man, says he had not received a vaccination since he was 6 years old. His parents taught him that vaccines were dangerous. And when the coronavirus arrived, they called it a hoax. The vaccine, they said, was the real threat. So when Roberts got his COVID-19 shot at a Walmart store last month, it felt like a break from his past. 500,000 people have died in this country. That's not a hoax, Robert told the Associated Press. He was speaking about the conspiracy theories believed by his family and friends. I don't know why I didn't believe all of it myself, he said. I guess I chose to believe the facts. Experts are seeing links between beliefs in COVID-19 falsehoods and dependence on social media as a main source of news and information. And they are finding that COVID-19 conspiracy theories provide people with a false sense of empowerment. By offering hidden explanations, they give the believer a feeling of control in a situation that seems frightening. We need to learn from what has happened to make sure we can prevent it from happening the next time, said Richard Carmona. He was U.S. Surgeon General during former President George W. Bush's administration. Masks become a symbol of your political party. People are saying vaccines are useless, he said. About one in every four Americans said they believe the pandemic was definitely or probably created on purpose. That information comes from a Pew Research Center questionnaire from June. Other conspiracy theories center on economic restrictions and vaccine safety. More and more, these untrue claims are causing real-world problems. In January, anti-vaccine activists forced a vaccine center in Los Angeles to close for a day. In Europe, people burned nearly 80 cell towers because of claims that 5G wireless signals were causing the infection. In other places, medical workers were attacked and a pharmacist destroyed vaccine doses. In addition, hundreds of people died after taking chemicals they believed to be cures.
Such theories often appear after important or frightening times in history. the moon landing, the September 11th attacks, or the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. People need big explanations for big problems, for big world events, said John Cook. He is a cognitive scientist and conspiracy theory expert at Monash University in Australia. Simpler explanations are just psychologically unsatisfying to conspiracists, he said. This drive is so strong, Cook said, that people often believe theories that go against each other. Roberts, for example, said his parents at first thought COVID-19 was caused by cell towers. Then they decided the virus was a hoax. The only explanations they did not accept were those coming from medical experts. Trust in American establishments has been further harmed by false statements from leaders like President Donald Trump. He repeatedly said that the virus was not dangerous. And he suggested bleach, a chemical cleanser, as a treatment. In addition, the former president spoke publicly against his administration's own health experts. An examination of data by Cornell University researchers found that Trump was one of the greatest drivers of false coronavirus claims. Studies also show that conservatives are more likely to believe conspiracy theories or share COVID-19 misinformation. I'm Brian Lynn.
And I'm Alice Bryant. From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. If you have never grown your own transplants for your garden, perhaps this is the year to try. First, what is a transplant? In gardening, transplant is the process of planting seeds inside and then moving the new growth or sprout outside. Transplanting is easy and often costs less. You get to watch the new growth happen up close. It also lets you grow different kinds of fruits and vegetables that may have trouble growing from seed outside. If you are new to this type of gardening, do not worry. A garden expert and writer for the Associated Press, Lee Reich, recently shared this advice.
Reich suggests starting with flowers or vegetables that are easy to grow from seed. Flowers such as zinnia, calendula, and cosmos are some of the easiest. Good choices for vegetables, depending on where you live, are lettuce, kale, cabbage, and the ever-popular tomato. However, Reich and other experts warn that some vegetables should not be grown as transplants. Root vegetables such as carrots, beets, and parsnips do not transplant easily. The process can hurt the roots. Vegetables such as corn, squash, cucumbers, melons, beans, and peas do not like to be transplanted. They can be transplanted with care, but you are better off planting them directly in the ground.
To get started with transplants, you will need a container and soil. The container should be between 5 to 10 centimeters deep. Some seeds need deeper dirt than others. You can use containers you may have around your house, like egg cartons. Most important is that any container have one or more holes in the bottom. This is so some water can drain out. Garden soil, even good garden soil, says Reich, will not work. It does not drain quickly enough in a container. Our expert suggests using a special mix called potting soil. Potting soil has additional material such as perlite, vermiculite, or sand to improve drainage. Fill the containers with the potting soil and push it down, but not too much.
Then plant seeds, 3 or 4 in each container. Do this by making a small hole into the mix and put in the seed. Cover the seed with the potting soil and press gently again. Place the containers in a pan or any flat, open, and larger container that could hold some water. Put water into the pan until the water reaches halfway up the containers with the seeds. After a few hours, remove them from the water.
Seeds need warmth to germinate. The amount of warmth needed is different from plant to plant. Here, the word germinate means to cause a seed to begin to grow. A good average temperature for just about all seeds is about 24 degrees Celsius. If the temperature is colder or warmer, seeds will still germinate, just more slowly. Most seeds do not need light to germinate, so you can place them anywhere in your home. To keep moisture from drying up from the containers, cover them with clear glass or plastic.
Now for the exciting part. Waiting to see little green sprouts. Remove all but the strongest sprout from each container. Just be careful not to hurt the roots of the sprout that remains. Your goal now is to grow strong transplants that can survive a move to the outside garden. For this, you need lots of light and cooler temperatures. Even tomatoes, a summer vegetable, grow best as transplants with temperatures between 16 to 20 degrees Celsius.
Do not worry if you do not have perfect growing conditions. A sunny, south-facing window works well, especially if the room is cool. Turn the plants daily so they grow in one direction toward the light.
You can also use a grow light, either fluorescent or LED. Put the light close to the plants. Although these lights look bright, they do not compare with sunlight. So use both.
Be careful not to overwater or underwater. For strong growth, plants should be slightly underwatered.
In 4 to 6 weeks, most transplants should be 2 to 3 times the height of their containers. They should be strong and ready to be transplanted outside. Or almost ready.
Get them used to their future environment with a week of just being outside in the containers. Protect them from full sun, wind, and cold. Now they are ready to go into the garden. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Anna Mateo.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We begin the story of the presidency of George W. Bush. His first term came to be defined by the worst terrorist attack against the United States in the nation's history. George W. Bush had been in office for less than 8 months when the events of September 11th, 2001 took place.
Plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Good Lord, this is just a horrific moment.
The day is remembered as 9/11. On that morning, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked 4 large passenger airplanes on the East Coast. The planes were flying to California, so they were heavy with fuel. Each group of hijackers included a trained pilot. American Airlines Flight 11 had just left Boston, Massachusetts, when 5 hijackers seized control of the plane.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're heading to the airport.
American 11, are you trying to call?
Number 3 in the back. The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mace that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll endanger yourself and the airplane.
Shortly before 9 o'clock, the hijackers crashed the Boeing 767 into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City.
A plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center. It happened just a few moments ago.
The World Trade Center, tower number 1, is on fire. The whole outside of the building was just a huge explosion.
5 other hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 175, another Boeing 767, also on a flight from Boston.
Hey, can you look out your window right now? Can you see a guy at about 4,000 feet, about 5 East Airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, hi, Sam.
You see a guy, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation.
Another one just hit the building.
Well,
hit
it hard. The whole building just came apart.
They crashed the jet into the South Tower of the World Trade Center a short time after the first plane hit the North Tower.
Oh, my God.
That looks like a second plane. We just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of my view.
Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in. So this looks like sort of a concerted effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
The Twin Towers each had 110 floors. They were the tallest buildings in New York and among the tallest in the world. They stood a few streets away from the New York Stock Exchange in the heart of the Wall Street Financial District in Lower Manhattan.
Goodness, there's another one.
The planes exploded in fireballs that sent clouds of smoke pouring from the skyscrapers. Thousands of people were in the buildings. Many workers on the floors below where the planes hit were able to escape. Others on the floors above were trapped. Some apparently felt their only choice was between burning to death and jumping. News cameras showed disturbing images of bodies falling from the towers. The South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed just before 10 o'clock, after burning for almost an hour. The North Tower came down about 30 minutes later. It had been hit first and had burned for 1 hour and 42 minutes.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, down on itself, and it is not there anymore.
Investigators later found that the intense fires from the jet fuel, burning for as long as they had caused the structures to fail. The ruins of the two buildings quickly became known as Ground Zero. Several other buildings in the World Trade Center complex were damaged or destroyed as a result of the collapse of the Twin Towers.
Another group of hijackers took over American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757. The plane had taken off from Washington Dulles International Airport.
Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. He's heading towards Washington. I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find
him. Mick Leshefsky has some new information at the Pentagon. I hope you'll stand by and continue to talk with us. Mick?
Katie, I don't want to alarm anybody right now, but it felt just a few moments ago like there was an explosion of some kind here at the Pentagon.
The hijackers crashed the plane into the Pentagon, the Department of Defense headquarters, across the Potomac River from Washington in Arlington, Virginia.
We're on the E-ring of the Pentagon. We have a window that faces out toward the Potomac, toward the Kennedy Center. We haven't been able to see or hear anything after the initial blast. I just stepped out in the hallway. Security guards were herding people out of the building. And I saw just a moment ago as I looked outside, a number of construction workers who have been working here have taken flight. They're running as far away from the building as they can right now.
The plane exploded a hole into one of the five sides of the huge building. And four hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 93, another 757. That plane had taken off from Newark, New Jersey.
United 93, that traffic for you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles eastbound, 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
People on the flight learned about the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington through phone calls to loved ones.
It looks like he descended there.
United 93, verify 350.
United 93, Cleveland.
Go ahead, Cleveland.
Do you have United 93 south of Chardon?
We hear some funny noises. We're trying to get him. Do you have him?
No.
Some of the 40 passengers and crew members fought to retake control of the plane from the hijackers.
United 93,
yes,
was waving his wings as he went past the VFR aircraft. They don't quite know what that means. Rocking his wings.
Air traffic controllers and law enforcement officials struggled to make sense of the events taking place that morning.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Down?
Yes, somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Okay, there is now on that United 93.
Yes.
There is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you, 15 miles south of Johnstown.
Flight 93 crashed in a field near the small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The intended target for Flight 93 may have been the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. No one could be sure if other airliners were involved in the terrorist operation.
The Federal Aviation Administration has actually gone even further than it did a few minutes ago. It was asking all planes not to take off. Now the FAA has ordered all aircraft currently in the air over the United States to land at the nearest airport.
Air traffic controllers began the complex job of getting all planes across the country and those heading in over the Atlantic onto the ground safely.
So this meant at very early in the morning, as flights were halfway across the Atlantic Ocean to land in the United States, we had already initiated protocols to shut those arrivals off from the oceanic areas, and they had to make tough decisions such as either turn around and go back to Europe or go to alternate destinations, which many of them did in Canada.
Canadian officials assisted. They allowed flights from across the Atlantic to land in eastern Canada, including at airports in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Gander, Newfoundland. Almost 3,000 people died in the 9/11 attacks.
You got coming in for building number 2 on the 97th floor. People trapped.
91 floor. We're all around the building. We're completely around the building. We're into the building now. Okay.
Most of the victims worked in the World Trade Center.
Battalion 7, Operation Tower 1.
The victims also included rescuers, among them 343 New York City firefighters. They died trying to save others. Pictures of missing persons began to appear in the city as loved ones waited and worried. 3 days after the attacks, President Bush went to Ground Zero. He spoke to the rescue workers and promised that the attacks would be answered.
I want you all to know America today is on bended knee. In prayer, we ask for the people of Ground Zero whose lives were lost here. We ask for the lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Each day, thousands of visitors came to see the site and to honor those who died. At the Pentagon, people left flowers and messages of sympathy near the heavily damaged wall. 184 people died in the attack on the Pentagon, including the victims on the plane. It took months to clear the wreckage of the Twin Towers. The attacks in New York changed the distinctive skyline of Lower Manhattan. The Twin Towers, completed in 1973, were gone. The economic effects of 9/11 were felt far beyond America's largest city. The New York Stock Exchange stayed closed until September 17th. When it reopened, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a measure of leading stocks, fell by what was then its biggest point drop ever in a single day. Among the companies most affected by the attacks were airlines and other businesses that depend on travelers. The nation's skies were empty of commercial flights for 3 days after the hijackings. And when flights returned to normal, many people were too afraid to fly. Thousands of hotel workers and others in the travel industry lost their jobs. The shock and sadness of the 9/11 attacks brought Americans together less than a year after the disputed presidential election. In a show of patriotism, more and more American flags began to appear on homes, cars, and businesses. Small American flag pins were worn by many Americans. The attacks pointed to the work of Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization. On September 20th, President Bush went before a joint session of Congress to declare a war on terror.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.